Alaska and the holes were deeper than islands and strands. Lord, there is no message this evening unless thou send us a message. And it will be a message from God indeed. And your spirit will indeed enlighten us and strengthen us. I will glorify your name in this way and build your house, even your church. We give thank you, Lord, for all the precious promises in our word. We pray tonight for your grace and may taste afresh for your strength, power, and our little triumph. In Christ's precious name, amen. We turn to that passage in Nehemiah, chapter 4. And there's two verses in chapter 4, 10 and 11. If God willing, we'll be thinking mainly about this evening. Chapter 4, Nehemiah, verses 10 and 11. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so we're not able to build the wall. And our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them, and slay them, and cause the work to cease. We will go, God willing, to Haggai as well. This, of course, they were building the wall, and in Haggai they were rebuilding the temple. My son actually did Nehemiah last week, and it reminded me of a verse that the Lord had put on my heart months ago, and thankfully, he admitted to actually expand that one, and it was these two verses. And we know that Nehemiah was the cupbearer, which was reading up, and it was a very trusted position, because the cupbearer would taste the wine, and if it was poisoned, he might have to lay down his life for the king. So he was very entrusted by the king, and he became a very close friend of the king because of this. And he was in the right place at the right time. And if we're Christians and we're in God's will, whatever job we're in, whatever sphere we're in, the Lord, if we're in his will, has put us in the right place at the right time. And we have to find out his will in these situations, no matter how hard they may be. There are Christians who are losing their jobs today because of their faith. And Nehemiah goes in to see the king, and he could lose his head. And you probably know, you're not meant to go in to see the king sad. You're not meant to go in to see the king asking for favours. And he says, even with all his faith, he was frightened to go in. He was frightened. Now we see this in another sense, that sometimes the Lord calls us to do something, and initially there is a fear. And if you read the Apostle Paul, with all his revelations, with all his knowledge of the Old Testament, sometimes he was frightened. Remember, he went to Corinth, and he said he was in fear. He was normally a very bold person, but a number of times God, he said, appeared to him and encouraged Paul, and told him in one place to carry on preaching. No one's going to hurt you, Paul. He was afraid. And sometimes we think, because we've got fear, that we shouldn't do the thing, that it's too much, that it's not God's will. But sometimes we have to go forward, as Nehemiah did, in fear. He knew he was frightened. And then God willing, at that time, when he needed that strength to say those words, the Lord strengthened him. The Lord strengthened and helped him. So, again, this is going forward to do God's will. Now, in these two verses, in 10 and 11, the war has been started. Nehemiah had gone there. They've done a long journey, that perhaps our missionary friends tonight have done long journeys to serve God in another country, in another land. And then he rested 3 days, and the work started. We see, he looked around, and he saw the state of his land, and that's why he went to the king. That's why, fearful as he was, he went forward. And we look around our land, and God is calling us to do a work, like he did in Haggai. What is the work he's calling us to do? Nehemiah went to God in prayer. He went to the king in fear. He went to the king sad, and sometimes we might have to go to the king and king sad. And God will say to us, what are you sad about? And we could turn to say about that and open our hearts to it. And we might come to sorrow and mourning for our land. Indeed, this is what the Apostle Paul said, didn't he? I tell you weeping. And he said he had his sadness for the Jews, And in the Old Testament, quite often, it was when they were sad, and they had the mourning period, it was followed by joy and revival. So we can come to God, and He sees our hearts, and He knows if we're sad, and we should open them up to Him, and ask God, what should we do? God has got a plan, like Nehemiah had a set plan, a vision. I don't mean a vision in a sense, in a dream, but something the Lord shows us He's got us to do. Well, the main thing I'm thinking tonight about is rubbish. We could call it a time for spring cleaning, or perhaps even what a load of rubbish. And it hindered their work. The Babylonians had completely flattened the land, and all that was there, this world could be translated to dust and rubble. And they're doing the work, and everything seems so hectic, they could be attacked any time. That's the discouragement given here. We're going to come and get you just when you don't expect it. And it got to them so much that they stopped doing the work. The rubbish was hindering them. We see it sometimes in the streets, rubbish. We see it sometimes if we reach the actual level, someone moved. But before we could move any of the stuff, it took 2 to 3 days to clear out all the rubbish first, in bags, before you could get to the actual work. So the rubbish has to be dealt with in the first place. It's very difficult to decorate a room if you've got the furniture in there and a lot of rubbish. So, what is this rubbish? Well, what encouraging things Jonathan said last week was that these people had a mind to work. And that's an amazing thing. Because we know there's a lot of lethargy in the church. But these people had a mind to work, so it wasn't that they lacked sincerity. But there were certain things that had to be dealt with. Sometimes you see some of these pictures of the Second World War, and now some places in Germany were completely wiped out. And that was the situation here, just rubble. And they had to start the work, but what did they do? There's so much work to be done. And it's a symbol of God's kingdom in our land and in the world. There's so much work to be done. To build God's kingdom, spiritually build the walls. There's so much to be done. We need to be built up. It talks of salvation, the walls of salvation. And there's still jobs we can do. We can witness, we can wash up, we can preach, we can go to the services. All these things, prayer, meditation, all building up the work of God. There's always something we can do. Someone said once, when you live, he said the best place to live is in God's Word. Is that where we're living this evening? And then there's that parable Jesus told in Luke 6:46, where he talks about the foundations. He is the foundation, built on a rock. He said, those are the people who know the truth, they hear it and they obey it. Those who hear the truth, they know it, they know it all, but they don't obey it. What did he say? It's like the sandcastles you see at the seaside. Some of them they can make wonderful things, but then the sea comes in and we just get washed away. There's no foundation. It's not good enough to hear God's word. It's not good enough to study. It's not good enough for prayer. Christ said, it is not those who hear that obey my word, they are the ones who have the solid rock of the foundation. And this is the foundations, and we want to put down here, and we're talking the spiritual foundations. But rubbish had to be put out of the way. And we've all got rubbish in our lives. Hudson Taylor said, God is always advancing. God is always advancing. We need to go on, and to go on sometimes, rubbish has to be dealt with. And there's all different things that we could class as rubbish in our lives. In last week in Luke 9, I was talking about people making excuses not to follow God. Through their father, to get married. But I don't think this is the situation exactly here. These people were sincere. They did want to follow God. But there was all this rubbish. What is the rubbish? It's our sins. It's the old nature. It's the infirmities. It's the discouragement that Satan comes along with. And the rubbish must be dealt with. Hebrews 12. Putting aside these weights and the sin that so easily possesses us. Anything that's weighing us down. Anything that's hindering God's work in our lives, in the church. It might be Satan in and of itself as wholesome. But if it's a weight and it's hindering your work, it must be put on side. Get rid of the rubbish. And carry on with God's work. Sometimes, as it says in Hebrews, we have the sin that but these leave your senses. Sometimes that's a lack of faith, and this rubbish needs to be cleared out. And sometimes much rubbish needs much attention. Mortifying the sins, it says in Romans, the things of the flesh, by God's grace. So what is our rubbish tonight? Is it certain sins and weaknesses we need to throw off? And it's no coincidence that chapter 11 of Hebrews is all about faith and works. Where from chapter 12 it says we have this great cloud of witnesses. Joseph, Noah, Moses, they're all there. What did they do? They all did work by faith. And in chapter 12 it tells us to throw off anything that would hinder this race so we can go and do God's work, building up the walls, building up the temple of God. You see, faith always produces works. Now, we've all got certain sins and certain weaknesses. Sometimes you get rid of one and then another one takes its place and you have to battle. It's a spiritual warfare. It's not often talked about in the churches, but really the whole Christian life could be summed up with the word warfare. It's Satan's army against God's. And we're soldiers in God's army. And we do battle every day. And Satan can get us in all different ways. He's so subtle. He's so subtle. I remember once, I thought I was a mature Christian, and I've been coming to this church for many years, and I decided on top of what I was already doing, I was going to do these studies at night. At a night school. Where, by the people there, it seemed an honourable thing to do. You're going to do God's work. It was going to help me. But I found, as I did them, I was falling asleep. I was still giving God the same time and devotion, but I found I started to fall asleep. And even if I did after work, I went into a local church to pray before I went to this night school, I was falling asleep halfway through. And I couldn't understand it. You see, Satan knew he couldn't stop me deliberately doing my devotion, or deliberately get me to come to church time. So does it in a subtle way. He tries to make out this thing is theirs, this thing is holy, this thing is good. And I praise God when it finished. And sometimes we have to learn from these things. Nothing must come before our private devotion with God. Nothing. Not even preaching. That must always come first. And this is what I learned, and the guide is never miss your devotion to your prayer. Nothing. If anything's put before it, it's Satan coming in. Nothing. Not a preparation for a sermon. Nothing. As soon as you do it, say to yourself, I've missed my devotion today. I'm backsliding. And that's a good way to make sure you do it. So we have to be on our guard to build God's church up against the enemy. The enemy here was discouragement. Discouragement. They have verses that told them that suddenly they're going to be overwhelmed. And something Satan comes to us suddenly and says, you're going to be overwhelmed. You're not going to be able to cope. You can't do this, that, and the other. Look at all your sins. They've got to be dealt with first. All this rubbish. And in time you do all that, what earth time is there to do work in the church? What are we going to do? The rubbish needs clearing away. But if we take so much time doing it, there's no time to do God's work. We're tired. We're worn out. Going back to our prayer, we remember Daniel was a man of prayer. Paul said, pray without ceasing. We need to be people of prayer. And this is instructing us and enabling us to go forward and do God's work. And anything that gets in its way, like the people there, we must cast it as rubbish. And there is much rubbish so that we're not able to build the wall. Sometimes we can concentrate so much, says Lloyd Jones, on becoming holy and examining ourselves. And he said it's good to examine yourself, but when it becomes sinful is when it becomes introspection and morbidity. And he said at that time you cross the line from examination to introspection and morbidity, you're sinning. And if you ain't careful, you'll get caught in a whirlpool. And then you'll find out more sins and more sins until you're so overwhelmed with your sin and your rubbish inside yourself, you've got no time to do God's work. Obviously, these sins have to be dealt with and confessed and repented of for them to go on, as it says in Haggai, by the Spirit of God. Now, it should encourage us tonight. It says in Galatians 6, every man has got a work to do. It says every man carries his own burden, and we should share each other's burden. But it says every man has his work. No matter who we are tonight, Well, like a Christian, throughout the world, God has got work just for us to do. His work. And we're meant to do it. And we shouldn't sit back and hope that somebody else does it. Every man has got his work. And we have to remember what Christ said. And I heard a preacher put it this way. What Jesus said. My food, my sustenance, the thing I live for, is to do the will of God and to finish the work that he gave me to do. That's what Christ said. Gave me to do. And I suppose then we're asked for not to say, but we're fulfilling that. So the Bible calls us to work, serve. We read at one point here, they didn't even have time to do anything. They washed their clothes at night. Apparently this work lasted for 52 days, and the walk was finished. It was hard, but God blessed them. And in our position, we'll always see opposition if we're doing God's will. But we're part of a body, and we've all got a function to build this body up, the church, as they were building the wall up. We've all got a function. The eye can't say to the hand, I can do without you. Or the foot to the head. Each one of us has got our little part to do in the body, and we must do it. Otherwise the body will not function properly, and God's work will be hindered. Remember when Pastor Zenker came to our anniversary, and he said Christ went a bit further in the garden when he was praying. He went further from the others and praying. And he called us to go a bit further this year for Jesus. To go a bit further for Christ. And that God will bless us. And these people were going out a bit further. And the Lord blessed them. Now I know the Lord is very patient with us as Christians. And sometimes people make excuses. Probably anyone who's not at this church tonight, who's a Christian, probably thinks they've got an excuse for not coming, and it's a valid excuse. And maybe sometimes it is. And last week we were talking about let the dead bury the dead. If you want to go to a funeral, and we've said that those are dead in sin, let the dead bury the dead, but we're called to preach the gospel and minister the gospel. So, with that something, symbol of a rubbish, if you like. Over-examination, discouragement from Satan. Sins that are bad, but Satan can exaggerate them and say that that sin is greater than God's grace, which it's not. Even Paul said, oh wretched man I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? They found victory in Christ and in the Spirit. We'll always be humble for our sins. John Newton said, when people wrote to him and said, why are I still all these infirmities? Why am I still falling into sin, I want to be holy. And he said, it's to make you value Christ more, and to humble you, and to rely on Christ more, and to give him more glory, and to show you that justification is through faith in him alone. Nothing we could ever do. Our hearts are probably a lot worse than God would ever show us. So we've got to look to God's grace, and not to the discouragements that Satan gives us. And not be hindered in our race, as it says in Hebrews 12. Nothing should hinder us. The Satan, of course, gets us to go to different extremes. You get someone who goes examine themselves too much, and then you get someone who never examines themselves at all. And Lord Jones spoke on this, he said, it's difficult to say which one's the worst, really. But he said, we should be the person who over examines themselves and try to encourage them. But if a person doesn't examine himself at all, he said, they're a very poor Christian, but at best, I would say. So, as a church and as individuals, we must clear the rubbish away so we can work better for the Lord, so we're free to work better, to confess our sins, to grieve over them, to mourn over them, and then to get up and hear God's word. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and to remember we have a loving Saviour. And the heart of Christ is a heart of love. And not to walk around in humility. Now, if we grieve the Spirit, and we're not tender towards the Spirit and his leading us in these ways, and what he's telling us the work we've got to do, we can't expect the church to be revived. There's too much rubbish in it. It has to be cleared. These people will need to give all their energy. If you want a revival, why are you willing to give all your energy, all your time on these people? Labourers for Christ. Do you remember what he said? The harvest is great, but the labourers are few. No, there's a few. Are you willing to put the rubbish aside tonight, dedicate yourself to God by Christ, to build up the church? The wonderful thing about the book of Haggai is that people there were really lacking in dedication. They said they didn't want to build God's house, they kept their own house nice. And they all said, well, we do that another day. But God came to Haggai and he told him, now is the time to build God's house. We don't put it off. Now is the time to build God's church up, to build ourselves up, to be stirred in the spirit by the word of Haggai. Went to the people, the messenger and the message stirred their heart by God's spirit. Are you stirred tonight to serve God? As never before, to lay down your life in his hands and by his grace be stirred to build his church. What happened in Haggai? It was like a revival. The temple was built. And it's all of God's grace and by his spirit. We need people to preach like Whitfield. And as he preached, the spirit stirred them up. Our preachers stirring people up in their hearts, in their minds to serve God more. It's only God's spirit can do that. As a preacher once said, there's like a big room, there's a load of Christians and they're all asleep in it. Because I put some sleeping pill and they're saying, please don't wake me up. I like it where I am. This is peaceful. I remember I went to the C of E after I was converted wrongly. They never preached the word once. And it was the easiest 2 years of my Christian life. You don't have any opposition at all. Because Satan thinks he's alright then. And you go to sleepy Christian, please don't wake me up. Says in Isaiah, I think it is, wake up, you sleepy Christian. Wake up. Stir up. Said Paul to Timothy, the Spirit is within you. Stir it up. Get up and get on. When you go out witnessing on Saturday morning, perhaps you might not always feel like doing it. But when you get up and you get on and you get there, you're with each other and the joy of the Lord is there. And the Spirit stirs you up. But you stir the Spirit up by going forward. Stir it up. Sleepy Christian. So Satan there was showing how big the enemy was, but the enemy wasn't that big. And sometimes he can show us all the things that are going to hinder the work and all our sins. And but we need to look to Jesus and God, who is stronger than the enemy. Do you believe tonight that God is stronger than those writers? Remember the writers? Is God stronger than them? Is he stronger than the drug addict? Is he stronger than the alcoholic? Of course he is. He's stronger than the enemy. Are we willing to go forward by these people and work for the Lord and lay our life down in working for the Lord? Stir it up. Get rid of the rubbish. Look away from our sins and to Jesus. And don't get stuck in morbid introspection and discouragement, which Satan peddles. God is able to do more than we think or imagine, he said in Ephesians. He's the God of hope. He's the Almighty God. And we need to see more of his grace and his mercy and his love. And put off the deeds of the flesh. And take the notice of Satan's discouragement. And look to the Lord instead. So, by God's grace, we need to clear our hearts and our minds of sin. Not that we're perfect, but we confess and repent and we look and we keep on keeping on. And we need to be stirred and risen up into newness of life. Remember the well-known verse, Isaiah, you shall rise up with wings and eagles, and those that wait on the Lord. What happens when an eagle gets up? He sees a vision, he sees a panoramic view, and he knows the plan. That's what Nehemiah did. He had a plan, he had a vision from God, and he was not going to be weary, as these people were weary, because God was going to give him the strength. Oh yeah, we can be weary. We can be worn out, but God is never worn out, and he can strengthen our hearts and stir us up to follow him in his work. Rise up with wings as eagles. God has got a plan and vision for you tonight. We need to wait on him and to rise up and see that plan. And the zeal of the Lord will accomplish it by his power and strength. But we have to remember it's God's battle, not ours. We're part of the army that cannot lose, but we're just a soldier. We just have to do, as it were, as the sergeant major says. As to him, like a mighty army, we sang, he's the church of God. On the Christian soldiers. It's God's war, not ours. It's like the church. Well, our pastor left a few months ago, it couldn't be helped. The Lord's blessing in Hungary. But what do? We don't worry about it. This is God's church. This is not man's church, your own person's church. I was ill for a number of years. It was God who took care of the church. You know, I'm doing me. This is God's church, and He will take care of it if we're faithful to Him and His word, and we don't compromise, and we sincerely want to do His will. Come on, there's worldly weights and worries that can bring us down, but we must run the straight race by God's good grace. It says in Colossians, so walk as you first knew. As we was converted, walked in that way, keep going that way. Don't turn to the left or to the right. It could also mean old teachings. Old teachings. Rubbish teachings. We could fall back like in the case of Roman Catholicism. We've got to clear any of that rubbish away that might come into our church. It mustn't mean it's taken any foothold. Or even godly pastors in the past. No one's perfect. Any rubbish there has to be cleared away. False teaching has to be cleared away. And if there's sin in the church, as we said, there's the wonderful Psalm 51 on repentance. Israel were in this state because of sin. They were in captivity. I think it was really only meant to be there 70 years. But Israel come out, the Jews are still there. But because they haven't repented. Like Psalm 51, create me a clean heart. So the rubbish may scum from our lives, dear brethren. The walls need to be built up. There's people out there going to a lost eternity in hell. How can we just sit there and relax if souls are going to hell? Sure, there'll be times the Lord gives us relaxation, but we just have to make sure we're in His will. Pastor Tony used to worry. He worried a lot. Until one day he realised when he sent out his servant to buy something, he'd give him a little bit of money if it was a small thing, and he'd give him a lot of money if it was a big thing. He said, if God wants me to do a little thing, I need that grace. And if it's a big thing, God will give me the grace to do that as well. And that day on, he never worried anymore. It's God who gives the grace. We need to pray for the preachers and the teachers and God's Spirit. As in Haggai. Excuse me, I'm so sorry. So when you read your Bible, or listen to a preacher, or perhaps you're reading a book, a good book, are you stirred by the word in Haggai? It's God's Spirit stirring you. And you're doing work, and it's applying to you. It must lead to work. It's the time to build. When we look in the UK and in England, in South West One, in Westminster, it's the time to rebuild God's house. The years of declension and the land of God come back to us. By God's grace, we must go forward and believe that God will start a new work, like these people did. Nehemiah and these people. And not to be put off, whatever Satan says to us, to go on in God's work. And to realise that if we don't do it, if we grieve God's Spirit, it's a terrible sin. God says to these people, fear not, to go forward and to do His will in His Spirit and in His power. And to faint not. Well, in Revelation it talks about the walls, and someone was asking me about 21 and 22 Revelation, when it was, and the heaven, the Jerusalem coming down, and the walls were there. Well, we won't have literal walls in heaven, but they're the walls of salvation. They're also going to protect us forever from anything that's bad or evil, from Satan or anything. We need to build up the walls of God's church, not a physical building, but a spiritual building. Nehemiah preached and told these people, and they were stirred, and as we said, the gates of hell were not prevailed against God's work. When it's God's work, and we're in His will, like Nehemiah was, and we know that, we cannot bow. We cannot bow. And every family said, did their bit of work, everyone filled in. Every family, no one was excused. Everyone had to do their bit. And everyone in the local church has to do their bit, even if it's just washing up. Everything's just as important. There's no one thing that's more important than another. The preacher is nothing without the prayer people. There's no job more important than another in one sense. We're all building God's church. And if nothing else stirs us, it should be the love of God. God so loved us that He gave us His Son. who shall believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Christ is the cornerstone. Christ is the cornerstone. Have we a mind to work? These people have a mind to work. Are we stirred to work for God? What is his plan for us? Let's go to him in prayer and find out, Lord, what would you have me to do on a daily basis? What would you have me to do? Renew every day, come to God in prayer. What do you want me to do today, Lord? And to get rid of all this rubbish. I've been spurred in the saying, some Christians spend hours debating this and debating that. You say, it's a load of rubbish. They're just wasting their time. It's a load of rubbish. They need to clear it out. As I say, it could be something wholesome. It could be a hobby. It could be a study. It could be promotion. It could be a sport. It could be anything. If it's entering the world, it must be taken away. It's rubbish. Remember what Paul said? We carry all things lost, but for Christ, and the knowledge of Christ. Everything is a loss unless it leads us to a greater knowledge of Christ. That doesn't mean that we don't have time to relaxation because our body needs that, and that we can come to Christ in prayer. We're not just spirits, but we do all to the glory of God. James said, faith without works is dead. If we're really saved, we do works. If we really believe that Christ was imputed with our sin and God's wrath was on him, and he loved us that much, and God loved us that much to give us his son, someone said it's almost as if God loved us more than his son. If God loves us that much, how can you say you've got faith in that and you're not doing anything? It's dead faith and you're not saved. That's what the scripture says. Faith without works is dead. That's what it means. Don't mean our works save us. If you really believe, you just have faith in your salvation, you will do works for God and exploits by his Spirit. What is God calling us to do this evening? Rubbish must be cleared away. Modern days now, the preaching of God's words has been relegated. There's a lot of stunts and emotionalism. Well, that's the way the Bible talks about revival. And in history, it's not the way history brought about revival. In all of them, or most of them, revivals came about through the preaching of God's word. Faith comes through hearing God's word. And God stirs. As we sung in our hymn. But what if God is rejected? If he comes to us tonight in our angry spirit and we do not follow that, the next thing that may happen is to our land could be Christ's return. But we need to be positive. Only this word rubbish actually means dust. The rubble and the dust of everything. And you know what dust is like if you're trying to do a work in a house and there's dust everywhere because of the bricks or the rubble or whatever. You can't see what you're doing and it gets in your eyes and it affects your breathing. Or if there's a glass and there's dirt in it and it's all there, what do? You just let the dirt go to the bottom and then you see clearly. And if you're not sure of God's will, you get the Holy Spirit, which sometimes is symbolised by walking in God's word, be filled with the Spirit, be still and know I am God, and see clearly what God wants you to do. Because he has got a word for each one of us this evening. He says in his word, what's God calling us to do tonight? We need to go on and do it by his grace, to believe God, even though we might be afraid. And there will be opposition. And if you know the main opposition in your life, about the spiritual warfare, you're not a Christian, says Lord John. Because you'll always be in opposition if you're a Christian at some point, somewhere in your life. In Acts they met opposition. The apostles met opposition. Most of them were martyred. In the Old Testament, you read Isaiah, Jeremiah, they all met opposition. You'll get on the opposition. But as one commentator says, God will bring you through that opposition, and in the end you'll be blessed, as these was. They finished the war. And in Acts, there was a revival. And Paul, with all these trials, we can't even use the God in all these different places. So let's go on, brethren. No matter what the opposition is, God is greater than the opposition. His Spirit is more powerful. Yes, I will strengthen thee. Yes, I will help thee. Not by power or might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Oh, we need to be encouraged this evening. Not that same discouragement. God has got a plan for us. And when we think of God's love for us, we need to serve them. You know, us in the Reformed Church, we believe in the 6 days and the 1 day, 7 days of creation. I'm very emphatic about that. As And also on the Sunday we should come to church, we should be going to work. But what about the 6 days? That's a command as well. We're meant to work 6 days, that's a command. It's just as simple to break that as to break the Lord's Day. There's no difference. These people work. What did Paul say? He said, if you don't work, he said, don't feed them. Don't give them any food in the New Testament now. We should be full of good works, zealous of good works, for God's Spirit in us. Oh, what a wonderful God we have. We're on the victory side, as these people were. And we don't need to be weighed down. We can cast our care on the Lord. So, just summing up then, we have the king, we have Nehemiah with a plan of faith, we have the hard work, we have God's Spirit stirring them up, as he did in Haggai, and the work is done and accomplished. And blessed. Oh, may we be in this spirit. May we be stirred. May we go on with the Lord, building his church, building out, spreading out, we pray, by God's grace for our land. There was an early vision. Pastor Zenger, he came and took over an empty church that had been destitute for 7 years. Nobody came. Then one person came. And then nobody came again. And the man who did come said he didn't have a chance. There'd been all different missionaries there, but they'd lost. That church has got well over 100 people now. 84 Sunday schools, and he's opened one in Brighton, he's opened one in Oxford, and he's going to open one hopefully in every area by the year 2020. That was his vision. And he hasn't got a lot of money, his churches are basically giving to him. A man of vision and faith. Now, what's God's vision for us now? What is his work? It's very simple, Christian. We just need to know it and to obey it, and to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Then we'll rise up with wings of eagles. We shall run and not be weary. We shall be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Praise God for his grace. As we come to our last hymn, in number 534. 534. It's a wonderful hymn by Francis Rigney-Ancow. The person had many adversaries, but she's victorious from them. Who is on the Lord's servant? Who will serve the King? Who will be his helpers? Other lives to bring. Thank you, David. we thank you for such a great salvation, such a wonderful gospel. We just pray for strength in our hands. We pray your Spirit will stir us and give us a fresh understanding of your will and vision for our lives and our land. We pray that you will fill us and use us and work in us. And we worship you and praise you for such a wonderful gospel. Oh Lord, we pray that peace that the gospel has given us through the Lord Jesus, through his bloodshed on the cross, the peace of God that passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, our Lord.